Blog Talk Radio.
From Los Angeles, California, it's Music Friday, the end of the week program where we interview the hot new upcoming bands that you want to hear. I'm your host, Patrick O'Heffernan, broadcasting every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Blog Talk Radio Network, the CyberStation USA Network, and our radio affiliates around the country. Well, today we're going to be talking with two great talents, as usual, Lux Lee. He's going to be with us to talk about his transformation from MD to EDM, that is, from medicine to music, and his upcoming show in Los Angeles. Plus, in segment two, Rain Perry is moving from music making to filmmaking, and the topic of her film is very, very important if you love music. It's Where Have All the Studios Gone? So this is your show. These bands are here to talk with you, and you can call us and talk to them at 347-215-7511. That's 347-215-7511. Or you can email your questions and your comments to us right here at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. That's musicfridaylive@gmail.com. Or log on to the chat room, or you know, send us a tweet or whatever. We have a caller on the line. Hi there.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. Who's this?
Oh, this is Tyson Kelly with King Washington calling.
Wow, King Washington, one of my
favorite
melodic rock bands. It's delighted to hear you. And you've got a show coming up this weekend, don't you?
We sure do. Tomorrow we are playing at Genghis Cohen at 8 o'clock in West Hollywood. Man, we are excited for this show.
Wow, Genghis Cohen. For those of you who are in Los Angeles, Genghis Cohen is a Chinese restaurant on one side and a music venue on the other side with seating in pews. It's really an interesting place. Great sound. And I'm going to be, you know what? You're on at 8 o'clock?
We're on at 8.
I'm going to be there. I'm definitely going to be there.
Oh, wow. Thank you so,
absolutely.
So much. That's
absolutely.
Very exciting.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, we generally play, slightly bigger venues, but we thought, you know, this is our last show in Los Angeles for a long time because we're about to go on a big tour. So we wanted to make it a really intimate show. I think the room only sits about 60 people. So we thought, you know, this would be cool to do two shows. We'll do one at 8, we'll do one at 9:30. And we'll just try to make this last show in Los Angeles for the next 2 or 3 months a really intimate, special show. So it's going to be a really fun night.
Well, I love the venue, and I don't know if you know this, but this is kind of a storied venue. This is where ASCAP holds its introduction its showcase concerts. Do you know that?
Oh, wow. Yeah, you know what? I think I did know that.
Yeah, so playing at Genghis Cohen, even though it's a small, intimate venue, is quite an honor. Now, you've got a couple of albums out, The Gears and Overload. Are we going to be hearing songs from those albums?
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely can guarantee that we'll be playing songs from both of those albums. Yeah, and some new stuff as well that is not yet released. You know, we try to keep the people that come back to the shows slightly updated with the new stuff. So, we'll definitely be playing lots of songs off both albums, though.
Last time you were on the show, you were about to leave on a big tour. So how was the tour?
Yeah, the tour was great. We went to New York and we did a residency at a really cool venue called Rockwood Music Hall. And we were there every Thursday night throughout August. And so we were living in Brooklyn and we were also driving down to D.C. on Wednesdays playing a residency there. And also just kind of playing acoustic shows scattered about the East Coast. It was a great, great experience, and we just had a blast. I mean, we love the East Coast so much. We're all from the, you know, Los Angeles area, and, you know, so it's just a whole other vibe over there, and it's a high energy, you know, New York City, it's capital of the universe. It's just, it was such a great time. We were very well received. All the vocal harmonies really went over well, and, you know, we're excited. We're going back to New York at the end of this month. We're driving all the way there, but we're hitting, you know, another tour along the way, in Chicago and Denver and a bunch of cities. But we're playing in CMJ, which is a big music festival there, and we got a great spot. Sure. So we're really looking forward to going back to the city we love so much, and just onward and upward, you know?
So you're going to drive across the country, no rest for the wicked, huh?
No rest at all, exactly. So we're, I think we have shows every day. We have a couple of days off, but it's a pretty demanding schedule. You can check out our tour dates on our website at kingwashingtonmusic.com, or you can check us out on Facebook, to search King Washington. And, you know, all those tour dates are up there and promoted for. So, you know, definitely try to make it out to one if anybody knows anybody in those cities, you know. So it's going to be a fun ride.
Well, I was on your website not too long ago, and I noticed that you were voted one of the top 10 live bands by LA Weekly. Congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't know how it happened. I guess people started voting for what they thought were the best bands, and I guess the LA Weekly readers were cool enough to vote for us. So we got, you know, we got nominated and we got in the top 10. So it's really an honor to be, you know, established as a, you know, I mean, there's so many bands in L.A., and let alone, you know, just one part of L.A. It's so huge, you know, so that's definitely a big deal for us. And something to put on the resume, you know, not a bad little thing there.
and well-deserved, too. Well,
thank you very much.
We have to run, but
okay.
Once again, this Saturday at Genghis Cohen's, that's on Fairfax Boulevard in Los Angeles. It's up by Melrose. The show is at 8 p.m., and then you're going to be joined by the Ivories at 9:30. So tickets are online or at the door. I suggest everybody out there, you get your tickets online in advance, because there's going to be a long line at the door. Or come in early and have yourself a great Chinese dinner and then go see the show.
Okay, absolutely.
Thanks so much, Tyson, for calling in, and I'll see you Saturday night.
Okay, we'll see you Saturday night. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about moving from medicine to music. This is going to be an interesting story. Don't go away. You're listening to Music Friday Live.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA, always on the go.
And we're back. I'm Patrick O'Heffernan, your host of Music Friday Live, and I want to welcome all of our radio fans, especially the folks listening at KSKQ-FM in Ashland, Oregon. I know that they've got a great big new tower. Actually, they've had it for some time. So all of those people living in the communities around Ashland can hear us, too. In the meantime, if you, regardless of where you're listening to us from, you can join us by email at musicfridaylive@gmail.com. That's musicfridaylive@gmail.com. If you want to, you can call in live on the show and talk to our band members here, and you know the number. But just in case you don't know the number, I'll tell you. It's 347-215-7511. That's 347-215-7511. And after the show, check out our website, musicfriday.nationbuilder.com. My blog's up. You're going to see some new album reviews. So there's a lot there. So check out the website. Also, follow us on Twitter at Music Friday Live, and you'll be able to keep up on all of our guests. Well, New Orleans has a pull on musicians that is irresistible. We heard this a couple of weeks ago from the Louisiana transplant band leader Roy Partain when he was on the show, and he told us that, that's Roy Partain, he told us that while he may be in Los Angeles, his heart is in the French Quarter. But that draw was exceptionally powerful for our next guest, who was pursuing a medical degree in Nashville when he just couldn't stay away from the New Orleans music scene any longer. He returned home to begin writing and recording once again. Luxley, a.k.a. Ryan Gray, writes and records life-affirming, catchy, hook-driven dance music that grabs you, seduces you, and moves you. He's now working on his debut EP, Spirit, and he's on a North American tour with the Bombay Bicycle Club and Milo Green. Fortunately, he was able to stop by Music Friday Live this morning and talk with us before heading off to do his setup and his sound check. Lexi, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing really
good
well.
Good to be on.
Oh, it's great to hear you, and I'm looking forward to your show tonight. Let me welcome you to my hometown, Los Angeles, where you're going to be playing tonight at the legendary Wiltern Theater, and I bet you're excited about that.
Very. I've been hearing a lot of great things about it. It's my first time in L.A., so.
Your first time in L.A.?
Yeah, first time in California. I was in San Diego a few days ago, but this will be, I'm just clarifying this whole tour is, I'm just going to say this is my first time in California, no matter where I'm playing. So it's like all around first, a lot of firsts for me. So on the West Coast.
Well, welcome to my hometown and my home state. And you know, you're on kind of a tough tour. I like you said, you were in San Diego a couple of days ago. You're going to be in Pomona Saturday night. And depending on the traffic, yes, it can be as far away as San Diego. And then you're headed up to the equally legendary Warfield Theater in San Francisco. And then from there, you're going on to Seattle and Canada and then back into the States. And at some point, I guess you're going to get back to New Orleans. That's quite a schedule.
Yeah, we're even hitting New York and D.C. and Chicago before heading back to New Orleans and Atlanta as well. So there's going to be it's a L.A. to New York to Canada tour. and everything in between almost.
Now, how did this tour get put together? I understand there's a little backstory here.
Yes, sir. Our manager, Sky McElroy, he's been in touch with Bombay for about a year and a half to two. One of the bands he manages, he had put them on an opening, like a different band. He had opened them for Bombay Bicycle Club in New Orleans, House of Blues, when they came about 2 years ago. And he had one of his bands open for him, and since then he's been close connection with Jason, their manager, and so he's been trying to push the Luxley project with me for a while in hopes that something was going to happen, and there's been some, you know, what seems to be potential surrounding the EP and the work I've been, putting out for it, so luckily, you know, things, the right cards fell into place for it so that Luxley can be on tour with Bombay, so, you know. Hard work and
getting along, I imagine.
Yeah, hard work and just, a network that you have to have a talent to be able to do that. And Sky is he's a great manager. So I really owe him almost a lot of credit for making all this happen. So.
well, how is touring with Milo and the Bicycle Club? Are you all traveling together?
We're all in separate vehicles. They have the tour bus, and us and Milo are in our own, touring vans. And we've all just been arriving around the same times every day. And they've been going out after the shows. We're on a little bit different schedule than them. So they have a big tour bus, and they sleep on the bus. We've been staying in hotels and stuff. So we've been kind of having to make those ends meet. So we wake up early the next morning and drive to the next city. We're actually on our way right now to L.A. So, yeah, that's what the travel system has been, sort of like that.
Do you get any downtime? Do you get to do any sightseeing while you're on the road?
I've been so, like, mind-blown by a lot of what I've been seeing from Arizona into California that, we haven't had much downtime, but it's just been a great sight to see through the windows. We had a day off or two. We had 2 days off after Cincinnati. That was our first show, and we drove from Cincinnati all the way to San Diego. So we were just driving mainly. So we really haven't had any time to just enjoy any of the cities, really, and what and all the great things about them, except for the venues and the people and the crowds, which have been great so far. So, fingers crossed. I think we have a day after San Francisco. So I'd love to hang out in San Francisco for a day and see what it's all about, you know.
Well, if you come back to L.A. and you have time off, I will personally give you a tour of some of my favorite hotspots. We're talking with Luxley, and you can talk with him, too. You can call in 347-215-7511, or you can email us, musicfridaylive@gmail.com. We do have a couple of emails already, but first of all, I want to remind everybody in Los Angeles – of tonight's show at the Wiltern. And for our L.A. listeners, you know the Wiltern. It's at Western and Wilshire. It's been there since 1920. It can hold 4,000 people. It's got five levels. It's an Art Deco wonder. Get your tickets online in advance if you haven't already, and be there. You're on at 7 p.m. Is that right, Luxley?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's kind of early, you know, for dance music. Usually people start rocking out about 10 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have my ways. I totally agree, but I also feel there's also an element of surprise to, I don't know, even myself. Okay. It surprised me during our sets. I'm like, oh, I just did that.
So Cecilia,
I'm excited about it. Great.
Cecilia says, why are you doing dance music in a theater full of seats?
Well, hopefully not everyone will be sitting down. I would love to see some people standing up, maybe grooving around, even if you're in your seat, you know, bouncing around, whatever. Because I can't promise I'm going to be on the stage the entire time.
All right. Well, Cecilia, you just heard it. When you go tonight, and since you're listening, I know you're going to go, you don't have to stay in your seat. And maybe if you're really lucky, somehow you can stand by the stage door and grab Luxley on his way in or out and say, hi, I was the one who emailed you. Blaster in Chicago wants to know when and where in Chicago I want to see you and bring all my friends.
Let me actually, one second.
Must be going to your Facebook page and looking up the tour.
Actually looking at the venue we're playing in Chicago as we speak.
Okay, all right.
Park West.
Sounds like you've got the fans in Chicago already.
Yeah, Park West Theater. Is it Park West Venue? Yeah.
Okay. Park Left. Well, everybody, his venue's listing, his tour listing is on his Facebook page. So go to Facebook and look under Luxley, and you can see them all. Now, Luxley, when did you first start?
Yeah, I wish I was able. I tried memorizing the whole thing, but it was pretty tough.
Yeah, forget it.
Considering it's our first big one.
I mean, even though because you're in medical school, you're pretty practiced at memorizing things. That tour list is much too long. Now.
I probably could have. It's just there's been a lot of time has been so of essence since before we jumped on the road, and maybe we can get into that a little bit later. But
okay, sure.
Time. But, yeah.
First of all, I want to ask you, when did you first start playing and writing music?
I first started playing and writing music when I was a kid, probably around like 13. The guitar and the piano were my first two instruments. Music kind of really picked up for me as like, oh, I really want to. Playing a band for fun and like really as a hobby was, I think, in high school, and then which was like a hardcore band. So I was actually a screamer. Fun fact, I guess I could say that. At one point, I was in a hardcore band in high school as a screamer in the band. I was also the bass player. And then, those are my first kind of starting points in music in my life. Nothing like, not like seriously touring or anything, just, a lot of fun getting to introductions to music from my own personal self,
Well, how old were you when you wrote your first song?
Probably 15 or 14, probably 15, yeah.
You started early. Was medicine a detour for you, or was music a detour?
It's a good question. I've like, before I went to med school, I was in there was a crossroads there for me. I had to kind of like figure out what it is I really wanted to do with my life. But I knew I had always been really excited about studying and science in high school. And music had always been with me since I was, even before that, since I was in fifth grade, fourth grade. Even just having my dad play guitar, I've always been around it and loved listening and playing it. So, in high school, when I went to college to go pursue pre-medicine, I just kind of kept staying in the band I was in at the time. And when it came time to finish up college and decide on med school, I just, at the time, the group wasn't together, so I just kind of kept playing music as a hobby. And at that point, I medicine was, my best option in terms of what I really wanted to do with my life at that time.
while music was still a just a love, you know, an inner passion of mine. I think what really sparked the shift back to music was when I was in Nashville, moved to Nashville between college and medical school. I was in Nashville, and if anyone's been to Nashville, one of the biggest things I picked up was singer-songwriting is such a forte there. It, like, rubbed off on me extremely. Seeing all these really talented singers and guitarists, piano, it could be playing any instrument, and everyone is awesome. You know, coming from New Orleans, I was still, like, it was still a different culture altogether, and it really re-sparked and rekindled this passion for playing music again for me. So I really started to write a plethora of songs coming back from Nashville to New Orleans, because New Orleans is where I went back to med school. And at that point, I was just, you know, still going with the flow with med school. And during that process, I started to really fall in love and finding in touch with myself what it is I really truly wanted to do with my life at this point, and it is to play music. You know, I'm one of those people, I don't really see life as black or white. I kind of see it as a continuum of kind of what forces are pulling me. And right now, I know for certain that music is the path I need to be on. And
I want to play a little bit from that path. We've got two cuts from your upcoming EP, and they both really show off your light touch and your ability to make magic and energy happen. Now, this is the well-titled song, Elegance.
Sure.
Now, I've had that song on the speakers here in the studio all day yesterday, and it's kind of a perfect balance. It's flowing energy, but it's delicate, which is why I had to listen to it carefully. It's kind of like when you listen to somebody who's whispering, you really have to pay attention. You do a very interesting thing there. Your music is urgent, but not because it slams you, but because it seduces you. Have you worked on developing that, or has it just come out that way?
I think it comes out that way. And that's a great word, seduce. I just said that actually the other day to describe something to someone. And it comes out that way. I do think, though, as I'm creating songs, I do kind of, like, I like have to say, and I shift myself to the back to more of the direction of this, I guess, seducing, delicate, but hits you in the face type sound. Because I'm innately attracted to wanting to write that kind of material, you know. So basically, I do write other kind of things, but I tend to luxury sound more of that nature, you know. So I guess it speaks most of from what I really enjoy playing and performing, you know.
Well, you're working with your co-producer, Ayed Al-Dahami, and also with Justin Gerrish. Now, do you work in the studio, or do you assemble tracks on a computer first, or how do you do it?
I kind of run through a few weeks or a week or two of, like, of probably tons and tons of sessions of different material that I write. And then once I kind of figure out what I really am, like, what's pulling me every time in, I kind of settle on that piece of material and get a sketch out with a computer. And I get feedback with our manager, who's an incredible source of feedback for this project. He's very knowledgeable in music, and at least in the indie genre, which is a gigantic thing these days, almost an umbrella term. It's even hard to say what is indie now, you know. But he kind of understands different aspects of the genre that we particularly, I guess, fall in, which I don't even know exactly what that is yet. But he kind of gives me feedback and kind of steering me in the right direction. So I feel like any musician, it's great to have someone who doesn't play music as well tell you how they're feeling about a piece you're working on or even a finished product, you know. So he's a great tailor in that sense, you know, in tailoring the songs. And then I send it, and then basically from there I get into the studio, and we hire a few musicians to come then make the parts that I've kind of placed down, you know, sound better. Because I'm not an expert in all these instruments that I end up, you know, sketching out the songs.
So
here's
another one of those songs, which I'd like to play just a few seconds of. This is the title song, Spirit.
That you won't fall in love in the places where it was done.
Okay. That's the title song from the album, and that's Spirit. And just real quickly, because we are running short on time here, do you have a release date for the album yet?
Release date for the record, Spirit, which is our five songs we're going to be playing on this tour, comes out early next spring. No exact date yet, but the time frame will be like next March, April. So...
And because you're touring, you're obviously not working on the album, right?
No. You know, but about, you know, I kind of have things like marinating and whatever, but I'm like all in on this tour right now. My head is so in this right now. It's so much fun.
we only have about a minute left, but you've said that there's some funny stories behind this tour. Real quickly, could you tell us one?
Man, I would probably say that right now it's sad to me is Jack from Bombay is the lead singer. He's a really goofy guy. He was wearing a mustache for like our first show with him and kept like reintroducing himself as a different person. He'd put the mustache on and take it off. So from the get-go, like just hanging out with Bombay has just been a really fun time. So those guys are... they're just really easy to get along with. So that's kind of my first goofy moment on this tour. It's like, that was my first impression of Bombay, which was a cool one.
your music, it makes you dance while it seduces your mind. When you play with Bombay or you play with Milo, what part do you take and what do you add to what they're doing?
In, like, what sense do you mean? You mean in terms of what they're playing?
Yeah. Do you just sort of step in and you add a particular line of music to what they're doing, or have you all built songs around all of you?
I would say the interesting thing about the lineup in general for this tour is that there hasn't been any collaboration necessarily in terms of the live set yet, which I think it would be fun to work in. We already have some kind of ideas and trying to see if we can make some things happen for fun with Bombay. But the lineup itself is really cool because it's very eclectic, and each of the bands, I feel like, offer a different like type of energy. And I would have to say you have to come to the show to see what I mean. It's kind of hard to really describe, but the lineup is awesome. Yeah, after I'm done playing, I just love hearing what's going on next with Milo. And then when Bombay hits, you know, it's awesome as well.
I'm going to take your advice. I'm going to be at the show, and I'm looking forward to it. And that's for all of our L.A. listeners. That's the Wiltern. That's tonight at the Wiltern. Tomorrow night they're going to be in Pomona. So if you miss them at the Wiltern, you can, you know, drive a little ways and go to Pomona. They're going to be at the Glass House in Pomona. And then Sunday night, for everybody, all my friends in San Francisco, it's going to be at the Warfield. You know the Warfield? It's got legends coming out its windows. So he's going to be at the Warfield on Sunday night. It's one of my favorite theaters up there. Luxley, thank you so much for being with us. And I know you have to start getting ready for tonight and do your sound checks and stuff. So thanks for taking the time to talking with us today.
Thank you very much, Patrick, and I want to thank Music Friday Live for having me on. This is awesome. I really appreciate it.
Okay, we have to take a break right now, and when we come back, a folk rock blues singer with a great new film. Stay tuned. Don't go away. You're listening to Music Friday Live.
Our troops aren't the only ones fighting right now. Thousands of military families are in crisis. They're fighting financial battles, how to pay the bills, even how to keep their homes and feed their children. You can help by supporting Operation Homefront, a national nonprofit that provides emergency assistance for military families and for wounded warriors when they come home. To learn more about how you can help, go to OperationHomefront.net.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation UFA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R. CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
And we're back. This is Patrick O'Heffernan, and I'm your host of Music Friday Live. And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. You can call us, 347-215-7511, 347-215-7511. We're going to be talking to our next guest in just a minute. And the reason we're going to be waiting a minute is because I have to give you some information from our wonderful sponsor, Solar City. Now, you know, solar power is a huge win-win for homeowners. But a lot of people are reluctant to take the plunge into solar because of the upfront costs. With Solar City, you can go solar for zero upfront costs on approved credit. Solar City will come out and they'll install a solar system designed for your home for free. All you have to do is sit back and watch them do it. You only pay for the power you use, just like you do from the utility company, but of course you pay for a lot less power because the sun's making it for you. Solar City pays for the system, it insures the system, and it maintains the system. All you have to do is enjoy the savings. So if you've been ready for Solar City, or for solar, but solar hasn't been ready for you, it is now at Solar City, America's number one provider of clean energy. Now, how are you going to find out about Solar City? Well, I knew you'd ask, and you knew I'd have a phone number for you. So here's the phone number. Have that pencil and paper ready. You call 909-618-6937. That's 909-618-6937. And when you call, you'll probably talk to Tina. She's my representative there. And tell Tina that I sent you, and she will give you a discount on your order. So that's 909-618-6937. Okay, stay tuned. We've got another little announcement here. And when we come back, we're going to be talking with Rain Perry. Don't go away. You're listening to Music Friday Live.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts, CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop-shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
If you're into the paranormal, then you're into Don Ecker and Dark Matter.
Something I have been immersed in for 20 years. Lunar research on items known as lunar transient phenomena. For over 400 years, world-class astronomers have been observing strange sights, lights, flashes, and other things on the moon.
Provocative topics, listeners' calls, and interesting guests.
My guest, Mr. Alan Stern.
On my website, I have a list of 100 or so lunar conspiracy theories. I had to kind of come to terms with one of them that I hadn't really thought about.
It's the kind of show that might keep you up at night.
Speculation is, at some time in our past, or perhaps even today, there is another presence on the moon. And I'm not talking about indigenous lunar folks. I'm talking about...
He's talking about his show, too. That's my friend, and you can tune in there on CyberStation USA. Go to their website, and you'll find out the schedule of when he's on. It's kind of an interesting show. Well, this weekend, the New York Times reported that the historic Nashville recording studio, the RCA, was in danger of being demolished for a condo project. And if it was, that would follow five other studios on Music Row that have been torn down in the past year. Now, part of the pressure for demolition is coming from Nashville's hot real estate market. But the real reason, is a profound change in the way that artists are producing their songs and their EPs and their albums. They're doing it in their bedrooms on their computers. That cuts costs, and it's really convenient, but it takes the lifeblood away from the studios that those same artists will want when they need professional quality for that one big chance at national distribution. Private studios are disappearing nationwide as artists shift to DIY and computer apps. Is this a good thing? Well, that's the question our next guest is asking in the new film that she's producing, The Shopkeeper, a documentary about Mark Hallman and the Congress House. Rain Perry is a singer-songwriter, folk and rock artist with a heart of soul. Her latest album, with a title I love, Men, is a lush collaboration with Grammy-nominated producer Mark Hallman. She joins us today to talk about the film, and we're going to play some of her music. Rain, welcome to Music Friday Live.
Thanks, Patrick.
Rain, what prompted you to put yourself out there on Indiegogo to raise the money to make this movie?
Because it costs more to make a movie than it costs to make a record. But also because I guess I would answer by saying that it just seemed the right time to make this movie. It seemed something important to do.
You were successful in raising the funds. Now, how did you go about that? Did you get a lot of support from the music community?
I got support from my fans and friends, and then I also got a lot of support from the friends and fans of the subject of the movie, Mark Hallman, who is my music producer. We've recorded three records together, and he has a lot of people who think he's great and important and has a story that needs to be told.
Well, exactly what do we lose when independent studios close down?
Well, that's the question I'm asking, and I'm interviewing a lot of clients of Mark's. I've done maybe a dozen interviews so far, and I have a bunch more to do. Different people have different perspectives, but basically the music that you make in your bedroom, and there are exceptions, of course. Some people are very self-actualized artists. So that's just how they are. But for the most part, the music that you make on your own, there's something that a producer brings to it that you can't do yourself. It's sort of like, some actors can direct themselves, but most of them can't. And that's because you're not objective about your own work, and there's a not only in terms of the technical aspects of it that you might not understand as an artist, and it's an art form on its own, but just in terms of helping you say and sing or perform what you're trying to sing or perform the best you can, and that's what a producer brings that is being lost in the way things are changing in the music business.
It's interesting that you mentioned the role of producers. Without mm-hmm. independent studios to work in, what happens to the producers? And I ask that because it seems like there's more producers than ever now, and they have a much higher profile. So where do they work?
Well, there's two kinds of I think we're talking about two different worlds. There are lots of big time, there will always be big time music producers producing. Pharrell Williams is famous as a performer now, but for years his role was more as a producer of other artists' work. There are always going to be these big name, producers, Glenn Ballard or I don't know whoever. But at the lower level, the independent level, You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they're going to go because you know, there's some music that you can record in your bedroom for sure, but drums aren't so easy to do necessarily. I mean, one of the things that Mark has been doing, and people will see this when they see the movie, is that he's always adapted. As the music business has changed the whole time he's been in it. You know, he started out as a musician and a songwriter and a singer, and then the reason he became a producer was that he was the music director for Carole King's band, and she asked him to produce a record. And so then he ended up producing 3 records for her, and off he went into becoming a producer. And so anyway, he's always adapted. He's a very pragmatic person, and he doesn't bemoan the changes. But anyway, he, you know, so one of the things that he's been doing over the past few years is building his mixing and mastering business, so that, like, if people record in their bedrooms, they send their tracks to him and he completes them, you know? He brings them together and makes them sound great. Yeah.
Uh-huh. We have an email here with a very interesting question. In fact, we've got a lot of emails with variations on this question. So I'm going to read the one from Muffala in Dallas. And
okay.
Muffala says, what do you say to the young musicians who tell us that if they had to pay a studio to record their album, they would never produce anything? The only way they can get their music out is to self-produce.
I guess what I would say is, you know, that that is a really interesting question, and it's one that I'm wrestling with in this movie, because, like, for example, one of the people that I interviewed happens to also be my director of photography for the movie, who's 25 years old or something, and he's also a musician, and his perspective is sort of like that, like, He's a broke artist. There's no way he would be able to go into a big studio and record a record. And there is a whole ethic of artists, these bedroom artists, who don't see any need to do it any other way, or maybe they're just realistic that this, since they can't do it another way, they have to do it this way. So I guess I would say I think there's a great benefit to working with a producer, but you don't necessarily have to go to a big fancy studio in order to do that.
Okay. Tell us about the film. You've mentioned that you've been interviewing people. You have a director of photography. Tell us about the film.
Okay. Well, first of all, I never intended to make a film. I'm a musician. But, you know, my last record, Men, came out last year. And I just, with each record I've released, I've watched the music business changing and sales decreasing. And one of the things that's really struck me, I mean, I think in some of the promo stuff that you put out for this interview, you know, you talked about downloads and stuff, but the main change that I'm seeing, and a lot of people are seeing, is that people don't download anymore either, they stream. And so Spotify and things like that are the way people are consuming music these days, and it's growing. And and one of the examples I'm using in the film is that, you know, at the height of the time that I had a song that was a theme song on a TV show. It was the song Beautiful Tree, and it was on the show Life Unexpected on the CW network. And during the time that show was on the air, and a lot of people were listening to that song, and people were buying it and downloading it, but I also got my statement, and I had 250,000 streams of that song between Pandora and Spotify, and the amount of money that I made for that was $27.
Oh.
So, yeah. I mean, I just want people to understand that you know, taking out the middleman has not made the money go to the artist. And so so, you know, I was so frustrated when I released my last record that no matter what I did, I just could not get traction on it. And I started talking to my fellow artists and musicians that I know, and everyone is seeing the same thing. Their sales have just evaporated. And I've watched Mark, you know, who in my view and the view of everyone I'm interviewing for the record is one of the most intuitive, creative, amazing producers out there. And he's barely keeping his studio doors open. And in some ways, life changes and you can't, you know, things change. I understand that. But I just thought it was an important thing because I don't think the public really understands what's actually happening.
We've got a lot of
emails.
That's
why I wanted to make them. Great.
A lot of emails right now, and they're all asking variations of the same question. So I'm going to read the one from Langston in New York City. And Langston says, I love Pandora. I stream a lot of music. I didn't realize that you didn't get paid for it. What happens to the musicians if they don't make any money? Nobody will be around to make music.
Well, I think that's a great question, Langston. I think that people will always be making music. But I just did this great interview with Scott Fisher, who is the president of Righteous Babe Records, and he and Ani DeFranco founded that record company together. And early in the early 90s or whatever, they were in the press a lot for having this new model of doing it themselves because they realized they could make more money doing it themselves than signing with a big label. And it was very newsworthy, and it was a big change in the way, you know, independent artists thought, and a big change in the record industry. But what he said is, you know, their original vision was not like world domination or being in the Wall Street Journal or anything like that. What they thought was, we just want to figure out a way where Ani can make her living making music and not have to wait tables in order to support the ability to play the song she needs to play. And that was their whole goal. And things went really well for them for a period of time. And now things are going back to that. And to answer that question, people will have day jobs. I mean, that's what it's going to take.
I want to play some of your music because people should be downloading it and keeping it for their own collection. This is Get in the Car. That, of course, is Get in the Car. It's off of the Men album. I love that album, Men. Why a tribute to men? Many of the women I talk to on this show would like to see more recognition of women in music, and here you have an album out about men. What's going on there?
Well, I'm married to one. I have a producer who's one. I don't know. I looked at the songs that I had written for this record, and I realized that they were most of them about my husband. My husband and I just celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary, and we were planning a big party. And I just started, you know, that's what was coming out, was songs about the men in my life. And I have a great affection for them.
Well, congratulations on that. You must have gotten married when you were 10 years old. But
I was young, but not that young.
there's a line early on in that song I want to ask you about. And the line is, everything is okay, everything is pretty much in place, but it's not bringing out the best in us. Is that true for most men?
Well, I can't speak for that, but that was, my husband and I had been going through a phase of a little more bickering than usual, and that was a song of exasperation. Like, come on, the message of that song is, look, there's nothing that's wrong with us right now that can't be fixed by just getting in the car and going off together and reminding ourselves of who we are to each other, and that's what the song is really about.
Well, Hector wants to know, are there any songs on your album that you could have produced in your bedroom if you'd wanted to?
Not me. I'm not. There are artists who can, but not me, because for me, a couple of reasons. One is I haven't actually been able to play an instrument since I was 22 because I have rheumatoid arthritis. So I have to have other musicians play. But also, even if I played the guitar as well as I ever did before, my focus has always been on being a singer-songwriter. And the extent that I played was always just to support the songs that I was writing and singing. So, and I write stuff that I can't, that I could, it's, you know, if you listen, like that song and a bunch of the songs on that record, I hear full orchestration. And the great, and so for me, working with Mark, for example, and this is sort of a pitch for singer-songwriters working with a producer, too, is that he's my right-hand man. You know, he plays. He's a multi-instrumentalist, and he plays a million instruments. And so I write the songs, and I send him these dorky little demos. And although lately I've been writing on my iPad, which kind of fleshes things out a little bit more. But anyway, I send him these demos, and he knows what I'm trying for, and he makes them real for me. He plays all the parts, and he does that for a lot of singer-songwriters, actually.
Well, I want to play another song, which I understand that is actually a duet with Mark, and this is Then Came Lo Mein. I know you didn't write this, but I love the song.
There were lean times, they were tough. There were mean times, they were rough. And the good times didn't outweigh the bad. Sad, you were bitter, but you were no quitter, but nothing was all that we had. We were drinking a lot, we were thinking of tying the knot, or maybe throwing in the towel, make up, have a kid. Break up, and we did, but only just for a while.
That is such a wonderful song, and it, I guess it's an example of collaborating with your producer. You want to tell us how that song came about and how you did it?
Well, I knew I wanted to do I always do a cover song or two on my records that fit in with the rest of the songs that I've written, because I love covering songs. I love interpreting other artists' songs. And that is just, I teach songwriting classes also, and that song by Robert Earl Keane, to me, is like a master class in songwriting. It's just so clever, and it's funny and clever, but it's also incredibly sweet. And anyone who's been married or with someone for a long time can understand, you know, getting in a big fight. In this case, it was, that song takes place in a Chinese restaurant, and there's like noodles in their hair, and you know, but anyway,
sounds like a movie.
Yeah, very, very cinematic. I just asked Mark if he would sing it with me. It was originally in the original version, which is on Robert Earl Keane's record Picnic. He sings it as a duet with Margot Timmons of the Cowboy Junkies. But we tried to do our own interpretation. We didn't just follow their harmonies, for example. We did it a little differently. So.
No, you did it really well. Now, you also
produce
house concerts. You have children,
yep.
As you point out
yes.
the song. You're directing a movie. You write songs. You record songs. When do you sleep?
Yeah, I know. It's a little crazy right now. Yeah.
I guess the answer is you don't, right?
Oh, I do, but not enough, yeah.
Okay, you're a busy girl.
Yeah.
Well, whenever you sleep, you make great music, and I want to play another example of some of that wonderful music you make. And incidentally, before I do this, where can people download your music? Where do they go to download your
you.
Music?
I'm everywhere. I try to have my music everywhere people are looking, but I did pull my music from Spotify. I'm so critical of that system in my movie that I felt like I had to kind of take a stand on that one. Not that it makes a difference to Spotify, but it makes a difference to me. I'm on iTunes. You can find me on Amazon MP3. I'm on Pandora, although that's not a, you know, you can't buy it there, but you can listen. CD Baby is great too. I'm everywhere.
Okay, you're everywhere. Well, let's play one of those, another one of your songs, and this is One of Those Days. Definitely one of those days. I don't think there's a person out there in our audience who can't relate to that song. If you want to hear the rest of it, you can download at iTunes. You can go to your website. What's your website?
Oh, it's just rainperry.com.
Rainperry.com. So go to rainperry.com. You can download there. You can find her on iTunes. You can find her everywhere except Spotify.
Yeah.
All right. And I know that there's no one out there listening who doesn't, double negative there, relate to that song. Was that song written just because that was one of those days?
You know, that one was just a simple little ditty. I was trying to, my task for myself that day was to write a song that was very straightforward and simple, as it goes on, you'll hear that it's a duet with one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Matt the Electrician. That's the name he goes by.
Right.
And he's from Austin. So anyway, we did that as a little duet.
Well, I love it, but we are just about out of time. There's another one of your songs that's a little bit different, and I want to play a little bit of this one. This is Beautiful Tree. And I've been informed that that's not the original, that's the remix, but nevertheless, it's great music. We are pretty much out of time here. Once again, I want to, first of all, Rain, thank you so much. Can you give us an idea of when and where we can see the movie?
Great, thank you, and thank you, Patrick. Yeah, I'm filming through the fall. I expect to be doing the editing in the spring and have it ready to start submitting to festivals by next summer. That's my goal.
Okay, next summer. Now, once again, everybody should go to her website. That's rainperry.com and download her music. Don't just stream it. Download it. And as you can see, there's a lot of great music there. And you can also go to iTunes and download it there. So thank you so much for being with it. This has been a delight, and best of luck with the film. I can hardly wait till it comes out. And when it does come out, let us know. We're going to have you back on the air.
Oh, thank you. I will look forward to that. Thanks for having me.
Rain Perry, we really enjoyed this, and we're looking forward to having you back on the air. But right now, I want to tell everybody you've been listening to Music Friday Live with Patrick O'Heffernan from CyberStation USA and Blog Talk Radio, and also our radio affiliates. If you like our Facebook page, follow our Twitter feeds, you'll get a real-time update on our guests. Our producer is Lars Christensen. Our program director is Jason Bartleben. Our intern is Angeline Serrano. You can download this and other Music Friday programs at blogtalkradio.com/musicfriday. Be here next Friday, Kate McDowell and Ben Jimon. So I want to say goodnight, everybody. Have a great musical weekend. Bye.